The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show is coming up next, right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio at its best.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
WWE Superstar Big Show here to tell you, if you've been drinking, get a ride. Take a cab. Find another safe way to get home. Cops all across the country are cracking down on drunk driving. They will see you before you see them. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
If you're resident, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrell right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make you do what I do,
baby. Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show.
Don't try to call me out, princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network. Network.
To be a good father is the most important job in a man's life. But it doesn't have to be hard. Play catch. Go to a park or visit a zoo. Help your child with their homework. Sit down together for dinner. Ask them how their day was. Things get busy, and sometimes we all fall short. But the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today.
This week on The Serious Side.
President Obama is scheduled to meet his Pakistani counterpart later today amidst rising tension around U.S. drone strikes in Pakistan. The meeting between Obama and Pakistani Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif comes as Amnesty International has released a major new report on how U.S. drone strikes kill civilians in Pakistan, where it says some drone killings may amount to war crimes. The group reviewed 45 drone strikes that have occurred in North Waziristan since January 2012. It found at least 19 civilians were killed in just two of those strikes.
Well, this is a lousy deal for the American people. This is sadly a classic instance of the Washington establishment selling the American people down the river. This deal does nothing for the millions of people who are hurting because of Obamacare. For all the young people coming out of school right now who can't find a job because of Obamacare, this deal does nothing. For all the single moms being forced into part-time work trying to feed their kids on 29 hours a week, this deal does nothing. For all of the seniors and people with disabilities right now being told, getting letters in the mail, that they're losing their health insurance, this deal does nothing. It is an unfortunate instance of the Washington establishment once again not listening to the American people.
Yeah, well, Barney's, of course, Brooke, is a staple for the rich and famous, but now they're facing a lawsuit from a 19-year-old named Trayon Christian who says that he was racially profiled and detained by police after buying a belt at the store. Now, Trayon says that he was actually handcuffed and taken into police custody while the police verified that his card was legitimate. And at a separate press conference that just wrapped up in New York City, another customer says she was discriminated against after she purchased a $2,500 purse.
Good morning and welcome to the Serious Side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jazz Jazz Cafe, right here on the TJRS Radio Network. Good Sunday morning to you folks. Today is October 27th, 2013. We're a few days from Halloween, and welcome in to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. I'm J. Ryle. Of course, I never share the stage by myself. Let me introduce you to the panel. First up, she is the host of the True Purpose Development Show. She's also the host of Ladies First Radio and the J. Ryle Show. She's an author of the book Pregnant in the Spirit. She's also a radio and a TV personality. Let's say good morning to the one and only Dr. Princess Adia. Good morning. How are you?
I am doing fabulously well. Jay, how are you? How is everyone listening out?
I hope everyone's doing great, and I'm doing well, and I can't wait to get into the conversation. Thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you.
And the man who gets the first and last word here on the serious side, the sergeant of arms, the man who really runs this place around here, my right-hand man, Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Jay. Good morning, Dr. Adelia. How are you guys doing this morning?
Fabulous. Good morning, Mr. L.E.S.
Good morning, my man. Folks, we have a great show on tap for you. The calling number is 347-850-1272. You can participate in the conversation. And, of course, our political strategist, Jerome Esprit, will be here momentarily after his commitment with Clear Channel Radio. All right, first up, who's watching over us? And us is the U.S. It was reported last Tuesday that U.S. drone strikes killed a Pakistani grandmother and 18 other laborers last year, shedding a light on a very huge problem, something that we're not talking about. And so let me start the conversation with you, Mr. Elias. You get the first word around here. What's going on here, man? I mean, who's policing us? Who's policing the police?
It needs to be someone, man. I'm telling you, man. I mean, I understand everybody talks about the you know, the spoils of war, the, what's the word I'm looking for that they use?
Collateral damage.
I understand that. But, man, when you're killing people like this, man, this is unreal. I mean, and if we go back to history, Truman, when he dropped that bomb on Hiroshima, man, he should have been prosecuted as a criminal, you know, a war crime,
wow.
Man. You know, I mean, if we think about it, because they, you know, after watching Oliver Stone's documentary, the Japanese were ready to give up. They were 6 days away from giving up, and we knew this. And they just wanted to test the bomb out and see how powerful it was. I mean, these are all documented truths, man, that were actually what happened. So who's policing us? No one. And I think it's a damn shame, man. We're killing innocent civilians and women and children, you know, just, you know, I understand our collateral damage. I do, trust me. There's going to be collateral damage, man. But when it gets to the point where, you know, every time we go out, we're killing innocent women and children, it's bad, man. It's wrong. And somebody needs to police us. I mean, in the previous war with Bush, he killed innocent women and children. So let's just don't put it on this president. Let's put on all the presidents that we were in war at. That they didn't care. It just did not matter.
So, you know, basically you're saying that our president should be tried, or the U.S. should be tried for war crimes. Is that what you're saying?
In my opinion, somebody should be brought up for war crimes. You know?
Well,
I do believe.
So that's a yes?
Yes.
Well, Dr. Princess O'D, your thoughts?
My thoughts is this. How are we going to go and call ourselves the police and we will go in and set out war and threaten folks for doing what we're doing? Such a contradiction. And if innocent people are being killed and we're the ones who are initiating that, yes, we need to have someone to check out on us. I mean, not, you know, we have to be questioned too. We have to be brought to the forefront. We have to, how about we do it for ourselves? How about we bring ourselves to the forefront since we're the police? How about somebody already in the chain of command in office make a decision to do something about that? What are we going to do? You know, so, I mean, it's very contradictory and it's hypocritical.
Well, but here's the question, Mr. Elias. The question is that we want our nation to keep us safe, okay? We want
mm-hmm.
to go and fight the terrorists before they get here. The terrorists are amongst these people. I mean, so how can we sit back and say, on one hand, we want, you know, our civil liberties and all these things to be protected? You want us to protect the nation against terrorism, but on the same end, we're saying we should be brought up on war crimes. There's collateral damage. People are going to die when there's a war going on, Mr. Elias, and sometimes there will be civilians who die.
Yeah, that's true, Jay. That's why I say I understand collateral damage, man. But, you know, it seems like every time we're going out, we got collateral damage. Like I said, Truman was the biggest of all the people. After I watched that documentary, I had tears in my eyes, man. Because he dropped the atom bomb on Hiroshima. He dropped the atom bomb that killed thousands and thousands of people when he knew the war was over with. He knew it was over with. But we did nothing about it. You know, he was prosecuted as a war criminal, and he should have been. So when we look at this thing where I agree we should protect our borders against the terrorists, but it's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way than these drone attacks where you're killing innocent civilians, man. Because if it was us and they were killing us with drone attacks and it was innocent American citizens getting killed with drone attacks, we would be outraged. We would be outraged.
Well, when we talk about drone attacks, you know, a lot of times people say that, you know, we're the police of the world, okay? People say that we don't want our young men and women being killed. Drones prevent that from happening. This is a remote-controlled, almost, if you will, plane that goes in and does all the dirty work. There are no Americans in harm's way. So I don't know. It just seems to me, Dr. Princess O.D., we want the best of both worlds. We want to fight terrorism, but at the same time, if innocent people die, then all of a sudden, you know, we're standing on our soapbox saying that we as a nation should be processed and prosecuted for war crimes. I mean, it's almost like double talk. Do you not think that, or what are your thoughts?
I mean, okay, when you go to war, civilians are going to die, okay? The question is it carelessness? Is it a malicious action? You know, that's the question. And from what I gather...
Define what you mean by malicious. What would constitute for you as a malicious act by the United States of America fighting terrorism abroad?
Maliciousness, to me, you could define maliciousness in a case like that if there was carelessness in that action, in their approach. For example, if you are going after someone for terrorism and you know where the location is, okay, or the person is, or the area that you're trying to attack, but you say you can't get to that area. So to make a point, you go to an area that you know has nothing to do with that particular target point to make your point.
Do you honestly
like
think that we're doing that, though? I mean, I guess my question for you, do you honestly
that.
Think we're doing that?
Okay. I didn't say that.
Okay.
I said if I were to define a malicious act, to me that's malicious. Because you're making an intention to not even, you're not even going after, you know it's not your target, but you're trying to make a point for the target, you know. So that's something that I would consider a malicious attack. I'm not saying that we're doing that, but that's how I would define it. Now,
okay.
In this scenario, I mean, so my point is this. Civilians will die, and they will. Innocent people, if they are in the proximity of the target, civilians will die, unfortunately. Should we be charged for something like that? No. Because unfortunately, that's the name of the game. That's war. When you sign up for war, you sign up for it all.
But what if it's your grandmother that gets killed that's picking okra out of a field? She just gets killed, gets smoked. You don't think that...
Okay, if she gets smoked. But listen. If we lived in such an area where we know that, okay, right next door is the target. I mean, not too far from here is the target. So when they go and they do whatever they're going to do, some things may happen. People who live in war zones like that, I'm sure there are certain zones that are identified in the case of war. You were in the Army or what was it, Navy, Army? Well, there you have target zones, and I'm sure there are parameters in that zone. And if grandmother is in the zone, sometimes people get ornery and say, I'm not leaving. Because I'm sure the United States, if we were in a war zone, we would be notified.
Okay.
And we probably would be also notified that we should vacate the premises. How often have you seen for there to be cases, many cases, even in natural disaster situations and also physical attacks, that we've been told that we need to...
You can't compare their setup to ours, Dr. Princess. I mean, you know, you're talking about a country... you just can't do it. There's no, you know, you don't have a lot of people with internet and all this other stuff. So
you're asking me about America. You asked me about if my grandmother, we're in America. But I'm saying, if in another country, I don't know what they have there, I mean, it seems pretty, it's definitely not as quote-unquote organized as we are. So I guess the answer would be no. I mean, if we didn't fall under the category of a malicious attack, then should we be charged for civilian death? I don't think so.
Well, Mr. Elias, one of the things Pakistan is saying is that, you know, the U.S. is violating their sovereignty. The bottom line is that what gives the U.S. the right to go bomb another country because they think terrorists are there? What if people thought the same thing about the United States of America? What if they thought, you know, foreign terrorists reside here in the U.S. and started bombing the U.S.? I mean, what gives us the right to say, you know what, we think they're there, we're going to continue to bomb, and we're authorized to do this? People are using the term war crimes against the U.S. So bottom line is that should we reconsider our policy when it comes to this? And then if we do reconsider our policy, Mr. Elias, you know, how do we fight terrorism abroad? Because we all know they found, you know where they found Osama bin Laden? They found him in Pakistan.
Right. Pakistan, yeah. that's a million-dollar question, Jay. You know, if I had an answer for that question, then, hey, I would be in charge of one of the agencies, man. Look, you know, we put people in charge of different agencies for a reason, man. There's got to be a smarter way than just these drone attacks where they're killing innocent civilians, man. You know, I like I said to you before, I understand collateral damage. I do. And it is to a certain point, you know, going to happen in war. That's just the way, that's war. But when you're killing innocent children, I mean, innocent civilians constantly, then there's got to be a game change. Something's got to change, man. There's something that's got to change. And you can understand that sometimes that these terrorists are putting innocent children and civilians in harm's way just so they can be protected. I understand all of that, too, man. So we need to get the full picture and see what's actually going on.
17 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network online radio. And it's best 347-850-1272 is our calling number. Let's get out to our political strategist, Jerome Esprit. Jerome, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
You're doing great, sir. We're having a conversation. You know, who holds the U.S. accountable? I mean, you know, you've heard the reports. And the big report that came out this past week, U.S. killed a grandmother. She was out in the field picking okra, I think, and she was bombed down and killed by these drones. So the question this morning is, who holds the U.S. accountable, and should the U.S. be considered as criminals of war? Should we be brought up on war crimes? Your thoughts?
For that particular situation?
Well, not only that particular situation, but if you go back and look at some of the numbers, you know, a lot of civilians are dying because of U.S. drone strikes, and especially in Pakistan. So I guess if we wanted to narrow it down to that situation, I guess we can say yes, because the Pakistan prime minister is saying, look, this is a war crime, and the U.S. is really violating our country's sovereignty. You know, him and President Obama is going to have conversations here within the next week or so. So I guess the question is, yes, in that situation, should the U.S. be brought up on war crimes?
I wouldn't say war crimes, but the thing to keep in mind, I mean, that's what the U.N. is for. And so if enough nations put pressure on the U.S., the U.S. would probably stop with the drone strikes. I mean, if you have to go back to war crimes, The Rumsfeld Bushes need to go to jail first. And it's because of the policies that they put in place when they first started, and they were killing a gang of innocent people, just generally, if you want to just kind of talk about body count kind of kill. But after that, the U.S. kind of entangled into a cooperative agreement on the drone striking stuff with those particular nations. So they're somehow culpable to their own people as well. So now that the prime minister wants them to stop, we don't know if they're playing like just general political theater to say, hey, wait a minute, y'all need to slow down and let us know what your targets are. The U.S. is not telling them what their targets are, but they won't the U.S. has not kind of violated their sovereignty by not getting pre-clearance to chase down terrorists. It's just kind of how, and I don't like to use that because it's a buzzword that the Bush administration created. Everybody, we're not at a war on terror. They could have made this up in the during the Lyndon Johnson era when they were in South America committing all kind of war crimes and you know, trying to poison Castro and all those guys. Those are war crimes, if you want to talk about trying to take out head of state. And Israel had done that with the Palestine leader quite a few years ago. So war crimes is kind of a direct reflection of whatever the Geneva Convention states and some of the general conduct of war. But war crimes for killing a civilian, like for killing somebody, is kind of killing them intentionally. That's a war crime.
Well, they should have got Truman then. They should have got Truman. But.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of people. I mean, I'm very hesitant on actually just kind of throwing up President Obama every time somebody, you know, has something negative that they want to put on the U.S. and say, hey, should they do that? I think the Republicans do a really good job of trying to create controversy around this particular president. But technically, the U.S. policy, when it starts coming to how it polices the rest of the world, has something to be desired. And we needed to put pressure internally inside of this country and externally through UN to stop the U.S. from being imperialist. It's just kind of what we need to do. But the citizens need to do that. Because if there was, I remember when I was in Canada at some point during the Reagan administration, I think I made a comment about, I probably could have did this, but I made a comment about the Queen of England. Of course, they were very pissed at us. They think Americans are not, like, conscious of their structure because, you know, they're kind of a colony, a free colony of England. But my uncle just pretty much said, you can talk about Reagan. We know he's wrong. But if troops would have stepped foot on the United States, we would have lost our minds. We knew what Reagan was doing was wrong as far as his policy and a lot of nations. Those guys were horrible. Those guys are war hawks. So when you start talking about the United States military doing something in a foreign nation, at any given point of our probably existence, the U.S. could have been brought up on war crimes. Our policy sucks when it comes to international, to people who are not our, I shouldn't even use the word allies, but we do that on behalf of other countries as well. France, what's going on in Cote d'Ivoire in the Ivory Coast, has a lot to do with France. They were kind of a colony of France. But once they wanted to go to the international market to, you know, get their water and power plants not run by French companies but wanted to bid them out, the United States was the first one to put them on, to take them off the U.S. Favorite nation list because we did that on behalf of France because Cote d'Ivoire wanted to be free. They didn't want to, and that was during Bush's time. So they're all, you know, Western countries have always disrespected countries that they thought wasn't in their crew. So the UN kind of has to stick up.
Wow. So, yeah, the million-dollar question is how right or wrong this is. I mean, you know, the question I posed earlier, and I guess I asked the same question to you, Jerome, I asked is, you know, what if nations thought that we were harboring, you know, enemies against their state, and they wanted to start bombing us. I mean, what gives them the right to do that?
The 92-year-old, and I can kind of name them. There's about four of them of Nazi criminals. Who one was? I think three of them was in Michigan, in the state of Michigan, that they extradited. We were taking Nazi scientists while we were fighting the world wars. Every time they want defects, sometimes they'll ship them to South America or some other nation, but a lot of those guys lived here. So a lot of the people who were committing international crimes were actually on American soil through the American government while we were hunting them.
Wow.
So, I mean, and one who just I think he was put to death maybe 2 weeks ago, is a guy who, I can't even remember what country it was, they wouldn't let him get buried in their country. And then they wouldn't let him leave, and now the body got kidnapped last week. So we are always in the midst of trying to figure out how to point the finger at somebody else and act righteous while we're doing the same thing on the back end. It's the reality of power.
Absolutely. 347-850-1272 is our call number. 347-850-1272. J. Rouse Show, Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show, happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. We're talking about who watches over the U.S., and we talked about the fact that a grandmother was killed by U.S. drone strikes. And this actually happened last year, but it was reported this past week by the Amnesty Coalition. And so people from an international perspective are not happy with the U.S. And, you know, we've had conversations before about the U.S. being the police of the world. And this is just another, a person wanted to use this against us. This is another feather in their hat, Mr. Elias. So I'll give you the last word on this thing.
Well, you know something, there are going to be collateral damages in war. There are going to be spoils of war. There are going to be people that innocent civilians that die in war. But when it gets to the point where we are, you know, as it becomes a normality where people are dying over and over again, then we need to take a long look at ourselves and we need to adjust what we're doing. Because if it was us or one of our people that were, one of our relatives that were dying, we want something done right now. So hey, let's just take it in our heart and find out what we need to do to get this thing resolved.
Well said, my man. All right, folks, listen, we're not done. We're just getting started. Coming up next, the GOP. Good gracious, give it a rest, why don't you? Still trying to get Obamacare. Good luck with that. Folks, you're listening to The Serious Side. It's Sunday. We'll be right back after this smooth jazz break on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best.
Hi, this is your resident map of the South, Moms and Little Donnas, kickstarting your weekend every Friday with Ladies First Radio of the Gay Rouse Show, a show for women, by women. Tune in every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as my co-host Princess Odelia and I discuss everyday issues and offer inspirational solutions. From the East Coast to the West Coast to all over the world, Ladies First Radio keeps it real, spreading positivity one show at a time. So come be uplifted with Ladies First Radio, the J. Rouse Show, every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Ladies First Radio, the J. Rouse Show, a show for women by women.
Well, this is a lousy deal for the American people. This is sadly a classic instance of the Washington establishment selling the American people down the river. This deal does nothing for the millions of people who are hurting because of Obamacare.
It's 33 minutes after the hour. You're listening to The Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network. Online radio at its best. Our phone number is 347-850-1272. 347-850-1272. If you're just tuning in, you just missed a beautiful first set. Let's say good morning to the crew once again. Let's say good morning to the one and only Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir. How are you? Still, yes, I'm not sure if you think he still has his mic is muted. There he is. I'm sorry about that, Mr. Elias. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jay and Jerome. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Doing great. And once again, let's say good morning to Jerome Spree. What's going on, Jerome? How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good. Good morning.
A couple of notes here. Receiving some notes from some people saying that they're trying to get into the chat room. The message apparently is saying the website is too busy. I'm not sure what's going on with that. Obviously, you can get in contact with BTR Radio if you're having problems, if you're listening or trying to access the show from that vantage point. So anyway, apologize for the inconvenience. Hopefully, you guys can still hear the show and always be an active participant once you enter the chat room. Also request for the music. The music you heard during the break was called, it's from Brian Simpson, Let's Get Close. Glad you guys enjoy the music as well. All right, folks, listen. The GOP won't let this thing go. They are continuing to go after Obamacare. You hear the lies on Fox News. You saw Ted Cruz. You heard the Canadian senator, the Canadian U.S. senator in our lead-in, Cruz talking about how bad Obamacare is, how it's costing us jobs and losing the government's money. All those are lies, lies, and more lies. But they continue to do this. And so, Jerome, let me start this conversation off with you fittingly. Why do the GOP continue to go after Obamacare? You know, after the election, Boehner said, look, it is the law of the land. We'll live with it. Then they come back and try to attach it to the government shutdown. They lost that stare down, but they continue to go after the president's signature legislative accomplishment. Why do they continue to do this?
Because they're crazy. There's no rational reason why, like, it's not even a good leg to stand on to say, to seriously answer that question, because technically, you know, they named it Obamacare, fed a lot of money into marketing that, and made it negative for their constituents, for the people who are their voters. And
right.
As people, what they did inadvertently is that they gave it enough attention that people are starting to see what it is. And then once
right.
they start seeing what it is, they knew that they were going to have a problem getting rid of it if people actually knew what it was. Because once it went into effect, then there's going to be problems, right? Because you can't get rid of it once they say, wait a minute, you know, part of the problem is once it goes into effect and you're insuring your kids up to 26 years old and, you know, there's no pre-existing conditions. Like, people knew pregnancy is a pre-existing condition. You were not able to get health care if you were already pregnant and then tried to enroll. They waited until you had the baby because pregnancy was a pre-existing condition. So nobody
right.
wants to, you know, take you on prior to that. So they knew that once it gets in effect, there was going to be problems, but they're still shouting the same thing because the people who they're talking to, they're hoping that they're only watching Fox News. But the Republicans, according to the polling, the Republicans are shooting themselves in the foot because, and I'm happy about it. I don't know about anybody else. I think people act like this is a problem. No,
yeah.
You know, the truth has this funny thing, right? It has the truth is a two-edged sword. Right. So on the other
right.
hand, everybody wants to be smarter, and then they get mad at what they hear. Like, you can't have it both ways. You're starting to see those guys unravel because they're nuts. But technically, do you want to believe them now? So if you want me to discuss them very seriously, they're gonna have to say something serious. I mean, they started lying about the you know, there's no mandate on healthcare, for example, and so.
Right.
Just so that you know, there's no, there's a, The reason that it wasn't struck down to begin with, and I just want to clear this up because this is one of their arguments. The reason that it wasn't struck down, according to Roberts, is because the fee structure is based in the IRS code. But in the IRS code, there's no enforcement. So technically, if you don't pay for Obamacare, and the White House released this when they started complaining that let's just put off the mandate for a year or 2 years. Technically, there is no mandate. So if you're online and you're looking at this, Title 26, Internal Revenue Code, Chapter 48 for the maintenance and minimum essential coverage, there's a waiver of criminal penalties in the case of any failure by a taxpayer to timely pay a penalty imposed by this section. Such taxpayer shall not be subject to any criminal prosecution or penalty with respect to such failure. B, limitations on liens and levies. The secretary shall not file notice of lien with respect to any property of taxpayer by reason for failure to pay the penalty imposed by the section. Levy on such property with respect to such failure. There are no enforcement of any penalties. They put it in the law. They did it very much on purpose. So the Republicans put the fees there. The Democrats put inside the legislation that there was no enforcement of any fees. Right? So although it's written in there, there's no enforcement. Nobody takes anything out of your taxes. Nobody imposes fees on you. If you don't pay it, you don't pay it. The White House released that part of the legislation to let you know that there's no mandated fees in Obamacare. So if you want to look up Title 26, it's page 131 of the Affordable Health Care.
But yet they continue to say this, Jerome.
I know, because people don't read. It was done March 23rd, 2010. So anybody who's telling you it was too much and nobody's read it and blah, 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 they are lying to you again.
Yeah, and that's what it's been about.
A part of the big picture is knowing that whatever the truth is, like, what do you do when you know somebody's lying to you? Do you go back and say, I just want to see what they're going to say now? Like, do you keep listening to them? I don't know.
That's an excellent point. You know, one of the things that Mr. Elias said we can look at and really point the finger at the president's administration is the rollout. I mean, you know, you knew this was coming for years. And for you to have the problems that you're having with this rollout, Mr. Elias, I mean, can we sit here and say, oh, well, it's because of all the traffic, and listen, Facebook and all these other websites have this type of traffic. Why is this really becoming a bugaboo for the president, this rollout of this of the Affordable Care Act?
Well, that's the only way they can attack him, Jay, at this point in time. You know, if you think about this, man, Facebook shut down for 3 or 4 hours the other day. You know, I mean, you're going to have glitches. You're going to have glitches.
But at startup, though, Ms. Delia, see, I mean, that's the thing I think where everybody's really saying, look, you know, you knew this is coming. Now they've hired some guy that used to work at Rockstar Games to come in and try to fix this thing. I mean, the bottom line is, how do you not have this ready to go? You know the Republicans are coming after this. And it goes back to what people have, you know, there have been Democrats who have complained about messaging from the White House. They said, look, the White House should have done a better job from the beginning of messaging, because once you start breaking down Obamacare, parts of the law is very popular. But when you ask people on the whole what's Obamacare all about, oh, I don't like Obamacare. Oh, but I like this, 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 and this. So, you know, we can sit here and say they're trying to attack the president, Mr. Elias, but they have a legitimate argument on this, in my opinion.
Do that?
What say you?
Do that? Do they? Do they have a legitimate point? Come on, Jay. It's a computer glitch. It's going to continue to be a computer glitch. As long as we live, there are going to be computer glitches. You know, hell, how long has United Airlines been in business? And hell, they had to honor over, I think it was like 300-400 flights where they were selling flights round trip $20 each way. There's going to be computer glitches. As long as we live, there's not going to stop being it. Yeah, and so when we sit here and talk about, you know, we should have been prepared, who is prepared for a computer glitch? You know, there's not one company that has not dealt with computer, and my company that I work with right now, every other day we got computer glitches, and this thing has been in place for years. Because
but see, the key word there, Mr. Elias, But the key word there has been in place for years. I guess my point is, I know I'm not going to win this argument because I'm double teamed here with Mr. Elias, the Mr. Elias and Jerome connection, but I'm going to have to fight my way anyway.
It works for me, so you might as well get it out. I'm being quiet.
Yeah, well, I know. My thing is you know the Republicans are coming. You know they're coming. You know that the world is watching this rollout, and yet and still, here we are. How many days into this thing? How many weeks, months are into this thing, and it's still not working right? And here's the deal.
Okay,
you're dealing with, let me say this, and I'll let you have the floor. You're dealing with, in order for the premiums and stuff to really work, you have to get a lot of young people. And, you know, the president said this. I've heard a lot of Democratic senators say this. You got to get young people in. If young people don't come in, then you're going to have problems with the affordable part of this. Because the key to this whole thing to working is getting these young people in who really don't have major health problems. And you and I both know that young people, you know, their attention span is just like that. It's like if they get frustrated with it, they'll walk away from it. Period. Floor is yours, Mr. Elias.
Okay, say it came out and everything worked fine. Then what would be the problem? It's always going to be a problem with it, Jay. Look, let's just be honest, man. There's a complete once they get it fixed, you know, the attention span, we don't give young people enough credit. The attention span, you know, will be there. Because, you know, you're talking about as far as comparing apples to oranges, where you're saying their attention span is not long enough. Look, we're talking about affordable health care. You're talking about something that's very important to people, you know.
Not to young people, Ms. Elias.
It's not? Let a young girl get pregnant, and she knows she need it. Let a young married couple get pregnant, and they don't need it. You know, come on, man. Look, man.
The numbers bear it out, Mr. Elias. It's not. I mean, the problem, a lot of young people will fight it because of the fact that they're saying, look, I don't, you know, come on. I'm not at risk for health. I mean, listen, the numbers don't lie. That's all I'm saying. So the bottom line is that, to me, if we cannot get this thing rolling off, can't get this thing going, Jerome, I mean, to me, it could have a long-term effect on the overall, in my opinion, overall success of Obamacare. What are your thoughts?
No.
I knew that, but, you know, hey.
Okay.
You know,
so
yeah, I knew it.
So, you know, without, you know, and I take exception to this, without being a know-it-all, of course, I actually manage system integration and development for large mainframe systems during year 2000. We did really large conversions for hospital systems. And I was in charge of the manager in charge of the system integration from one system to another. Now, we're talking hospital systems here. So when you talk about, you know, a website, and personally, I program New York State's electronic or web-based birth certificate system. I did that by myself. I was the manager in charge of that. So here's the thing. When you talk about the difference between technology and a program, right, it's different things. The exchanges are set up. They're working fine. The prices for insurance have dropped. If you call a provider directly anyway, you can sign up for them. We're talking about the interface that shows you who the providers are to compare different types of policies. Now, if you make those phone calls directly, if you notice in any state in this country, there are probably a billion health commercials on. Go to, you know, United Health or go to whoever. They're probably running all of these health commercials for a reason. And the reason is because since the rates are dropped, they need to make sure that you choose them opposed to the other provider. That has nothing to do with the website. Now, in New York State and California and Kentucky and all these other states who decided to make their own website, it's perfectly fine. But we have 36 states, mainly Republican states, who decided to let the federal government build the website because those fools didn't build their own. Now, when you start talking about 36 states and web traffic in particular, you're talking about kind of new technology generally hooking into the IRS database, into Social Security, into all of these other databases that is not an easy task, and you do not find out how they work until you get the thing up and running. There's something that is like a grace period that you really need to check real traffic no matter how much you test something. So I am telling you this from as an IT professional that you're going to have, and if you look at anybody, you can take any version of Windows, and I'm saying since the day it was released, they don't work, right? That's why there's a 0.001 version, 0.002, 0.04, 05, 09. That's because when they rolled it out, they didn't work to begin with. They let the users test the flaws in the system, so they make those upgrades as they go. Right, you can still run through beer ads on any version of Windows right now because they tried to make it fun for the programmers, and they hooked all sorts of things in the background of Windows so that I would tell you what it is, and I'm not going to do that to the audience. But you can put, like, 3-4 keys together, and they'll roll through all the beer companies, right? It just does. They just do that. And so you're talking about a computer problem that's not a reflection of the law. It's not a reflect. It's only 3 weeks in. You have till March 31st to get enrolled, and it does not kick in yet. So that's not a problem. This is going to be a blip on the screen, and nobody's going to remember it. We are carrying water for a party who wants to blame the president for something. It's a doggone website. Call your provider directly. You can get lower rates. The rates have already gone down. The hard part is over on Obamacare. It is not. It is the access from the states who have governors and legislators who don't want that thing to work. So they have to look at the government's website, dial 800 number. But so all I'm saying to you is that you're talking about something that was going to happen anyway. Every website has problems when they first start up. You name one, I'll probably be able to find some problems in it. But if you look at some place like, I'm trying to think of the state that was just talking about this, but if you look at just how they're rolling this stuff out, the problem is that Congress tried to defund the implementation by not providing it enough money, so they didn't hire Oracle and all the big guys to build the website and to build the databases that were needed to function well. So they had to use internal contractors to get it done, and in lies the problem, right? So this was part of what happened from the affordable health care implementation side not being funded by Congress, which they by law was supposed to. They didn't fund it. They didn't get the big companies in there to build the behind-the-scenes structures of the databases and the the capacity for storage and those things, and now they're having problems. Well, somebody's going to have to fix them. So that's not a big deal that they have to fix them. They were going to have to fix some part of it anyway, but the Republicans didn't fund it. They can't complain. It's like complaining about the post office. That, you know, when the government doesn't fund the post office, just because it says U.S. post office, you can't blame the unions because the post office aren't delivering on Saturdays. Right? So we have to watch where our blame is going on this thing and stop. And, again, I know I'm a IT professional, but the problem is that you have to ask someone who knows something about IT to say whether it's a massive failure or not. It's not a massive failure. It's only been a couple of weeks. If it didn't work, that would be a whole different problem. It has a volume issue. It has a scale, scaling up issue. It's a problem.
347-850-1272 is our call-in number. 347-850-1272. J. Ryle Show, the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network. Online radio, but it's best. It's about 10 before the hour. We're talking about the GOP. They won't give up. They are continuing to go after Obamacare. And so, listen, I'll say this. First impressions are lasting impressions. We talked about the low information voter, the low information person. We've said this 1,000 times in the show, how people don't go and do their research. And the bottom line is that, people say it doesn't work. And then the other part of it, I think, Ms. Delius, that's concerning is that you have all these people who are calling just to see what it's all about, which is bogging the system down as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's going to happen, man. A lot of people, in case you didn't know, like 53% of the people want health care. They want health care. So, of course, they're going to find out what's going on with it. And what they did, you know, whether you like the GOP or not, they put Obama's care on it. So it would be a negative spin on it. When I saw that Colbert report, when they were talking about which would you rather have, Obamacare or the Affordable Care Health Act, and a lot of people said, I'd rather have Affordable Care Health. You know, I'm like, really? As compared, what's the difference? it's just ridiculous, man. So when we look at this thing, we look at it as right. They're going to try and punch holes in anything that happens. And if this doesn't happen, this is going to happen. Look, if everybody could predict the future, we'd all be rich in lottery. We'd all be millionaires in lottery. So until this thing rolls out and gets itself together, let's see what happens then. You know, numbers show this. Numbers show that. I don't care what the numbers show. Like, everybody wants health care. I don't care whether you're young or old, rich or poor. Everybody wants health care. Because if you don't have your health, you can have all the money in the world. Guess what? You're just a broke-down rich person.
Well, Dr. Prince, I'll do
never,
your thoughts.
Never get away from that first impression.
Go ahead, Jerome, and then Dr. Prince, I'll do you can give us your final word. Go ahead, Jerome.
Okay, I'm sorry. I would get away from that first impression meaning anything. Medicare Part D, Social Security, Medicaid. I mean, those things took a couple of years to get stable, for uh-huh. one. And two is that the bigger issue is that when you start talking about, just like what the Colbert Report did, I know they're making fun of it, but the truth is that it has nothing to do with the bigger picture. And so I think that it's going to work out fine. It's just that we have a tendency to make a mountain out of a molehill when it really comes down to it, just because it's like it didn't run smooth. It's because the things that run smooth, you don't pay attention to anyway. So bring attention to it, and it's probably going to work out for the best that it is.
Yeah. Dr. Prince Zodia, your thoughts and final word.
Okay. Well, I will say this, that the GOP, they're upset that this thing is going to work. They had issues, and I was trying to find what I had read somewhere in the last couple of months. I thought I read something to say that President Barack Obama was asking for some extra employees, some extra things that would have addressed the issues that we're seeing right now. And the GOP, they were so much in argument with him, they were not giving him what was necessary in the planning and developmental stages. So I don't think that we should let's not get it twisted. The idea that they don't like the health plan, they're not willing to educate on it. I believe they know that there are great incentives associated with it if they would have allowed and been on the team from the beginning in the planning and developmental stages. Now they want to have something to talk about, which I'm sure was the plan in the first place. So let's just look. Whatever we have to do now, we have to do it. It does not negate nor subtract. It does not negate President Barack Obama's intention and excellent program that has been implemented, and it does not subtract from the benefits that it will give to the people if we just do what we have to do. There have been some glitches, but there's been glitches from the minute that he said that he wanted to do this. So, and everybody who knows, I think everybody on this panel and many people that are in our listening audience, they're part of a professional forum. We are entrepreneurs. We understand how important planning and development is. But when your team has fallen apart in the beginning stages, during the developmental stages, this is the least that we could expect. Let's just keep the ball rolling, stay positive, do what you got to do. Whatever it is you have to do to get enrolled, get yourself educated, study to show yourself approved on the health care plan that President Barack Obama has implemented for us.
Well said. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. We have a serious situation going on in New York. Barney's Black Problem. We'll talk about it. You're in tune to the serious side 347-850-1272. Write it down and you can use it. We'll be right back after another break.
This is a test.
As we jump into the second set with laughter, a hearty laughter from Toxic Style. Welcome back in, folks. 347-850-1272.
A show for women, by women. Is your resident, not for the South. My little daughter.
Good Sunday morning to you, folks, and welcome into the serious side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jazz Jazz Cafe.
Powerhouse Sports Talk Radio.
Welcome back. You are tuning in to the True Purpose Development Show. Tonight, we...
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network. Network.
Well, Barney's, of course, Brooke, is a staple for the rich and famous, but now they're facing a lawsuit from a 19-year-old named Trayon Christian, who says that he was racially profiled and detained by police after buying a belt at the store. Now, Trayon says that he was actually handcuffed and taken into police custody while the police verified that his card was legitimate. And at a separate press conference that just wrapped up in New York City, another customer says she was discriminated against after she purchased a $2,500 purse.
It's top of the hour, and you're tuned to the serious side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio. And it's best our caller number is 347-850-1272. 347-850-1272. Let's say good morning one last time to our panelists. Let's say good morning to the smartest man in the world, on loan from EspreeRadio.net, the one and only Mr. Jerome Espree. What's going on, sir? How are you?
Hey, good morning.
And of course, the man who gets the first and last word, the man who really runs this joint, the man who rules with an iron fist, Mr. L.E.S. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay. Good morning, Jerome.
Good morning.
Glad you guys are in with us. Coming back from the break. During the break, you heard music from Marion Meadows called Secrets. Glad you guys are enjoying the smooth jams this morning, as we always do every Sunday morning, trying to cool you out, get you ready for some serious conversation. And I tell you what, third and final set, as always, we save the best for last. And, man, this is going to be a good one. Barney's has a black problem. You know, we talk about police profiling. We talk about all these different things. We talk about how can these things exist when we have a black president or an African-American president, to be politically correct, in the White House, but we still deal with these problems. Let's start this conversation off with you, Mr. Elias. What is going on with Barney's?
Jay, after hearing this story and reading about this story, I don't get it. I get it, but I don't get it. You have a young man that comes in there who wants to spend $300-and-some dollars on a belt, and he has money to spend. And then you still take him into custody, then you get what you deserve. You know, I would sue them for all their work, man. I would. You know, they called Chase, and they verified that this was the young man, and then you still take him into custody? Come on, for real? What's going on here? You know, why even stop at this store?
Yeah, exactly. And not only Barney's, this has happened in Macy's as well. You know, a situation, I'm starting to get some notes from people asking, what are we talking about? And, boy, I tell you what, story really hasn't made its rounds yet. But if you haven't heard the story, you know, we're talking about Barney's, a situation that happened in Barney's in New York. I tell you what, let's get you updated. If you haven't heard the story, here's Don Daler from CBS News. We'll talk on the other side.
Robert Brown is an accomplished actor, most notably on the HBO series Tremé. But while shopping for a present for his mother at Macy's, he says he was slapped in handcuffs and told he was a thief.
They just knew my card was fake, and you're going to jail. That's what I kept hearing. We do this all the time. Your card is fake. You're going to jail.
Brown's accusations come just days after two other African Americans came forward describing similar experiences at another store in Manhattan, Barney's.
Very embarrassing. Very.
In April, 19-year-old Trayon Christian was confronted after buying an expensive belt.
Undercover cops on the left side that had regular clothes on stopped me from the left side and asked me, like, oh, I just got a call from Barney saying your card is not real.
But his card was valid, as was Kayla Phillips last February when police stopped her after she bought a $2,500 handbag.
It made me feel so low, like I didn't deserve to shop there.
Rapper and entrepreneur Jay-Z has business deals with both Barney's and Macy's. Macy's carries his Rockaware clothing line. Barney's will debut a limited collection of his designs next month. They range from a $675 raincoat to a $33,000 watch. Jay-Z, who was born in Brooklyn with the name Sean Carter, pledged some of the profits to charity. He has boycotted companies he says were racist in the past, including Cristal Champagne. The hip-hop star, currently on tour in Europe, has not commented on these recent incidents. But thousands of his fans have signed an online petition asking him to sever ties to Barney's.
It doesn't surprise me.
It was started by lifelong Jay-Z fan Derek Bowers.
You can't deny what's happening here. You know, he's the face of hip-hop culture, and when we regular folks who don't have the money or clout walk in and we can't get service, then what's the point?
You want it to be more than just business and money.
It has to be more than business and money. It has to be.
Barney says it's reviewing its policies. Macy says it is investigating the incident. All three shoppers say they plan to sue. Don Daler, CBS News, New York.
In a written statement, Jay-Z says he's waiting until a meeting between community leaders and Barney's before commenting, but that the collaboration with the store benefits his charitable foundation, and he doesn't profit.
Sounds like an excuse to me. He said he's going to wait. You know, the face of hip-hop, according to the young man in the story, Jerome. Bottom line is, this is ridiculous. And, you know, Jay-Z needs to look past money and really do the right thing. What are your thoughts on this story?
It's a lot, but here, and we talked about this last week when I think it was the racial profiling.
Yeah.
For me, this is vindication on when we talk about how people dress and all this other stuff, and you should not fit a stereotype. We're talking about high-end stores. So last week, I think some of the consensus was, well, they don't do it all over the place, but if you're in a drug area, they are going to profile you. No, racism is racism. And so they're catching Tyson Beckford came out with a – he was interviewed in front of Barney's yesterday. And he said that he's constantly followed around the store. In the height of his career as one of the most, you know, popular models in the world, he gets followed. So technically – I am saying to you that forget having a black president. Racist people are racist people. So I don't know what to say, but you better watch your kids. You can't keep letting your guard down saying, in 2000 and whatever, I can't believe this is going on. It's been going on, and it's still going on. So
yeah.
What happens with businesses like Barney's, and they did release a statement as well, just pretty much saying, or Barney's released a statement saying that they issued an apology. And they hired some firm to come in to look at their civil rights, whatever, and they said they believe that no customer should have an unacceptable experience as described in the recent media reports, and we offer our sincere regret and apologies. And then Macy's spokesman came out and said that we're investigating the alleged claims as we are just made aware of the lawsuit that they had filed against them. So corporations practice this across the board, even if we look at hiring practices, and we have to get on them. So places like,
yeah,
or people who have civil rights organizations like Sharpen, who National Action Network and all those other guys, we will see why they serve a purpose in our society. When people get comfortable and bougie, they go, oh, what? They always call him Sharpen. He always comes. It's because you can't get any media when black people get injustice like that until you start hitting somebody else's bottom line.
So, absolutely. You mentioned Tyson. You mentioned Tyson Beckford. Let's hear what he had to say when they caught him outside of Barney's.
It is sad, though. The truth of it is sad because, I mean, you might have a black president, but you're still going to get followed by security, you know? It happens in Macy's. Just, you know, you can't single out Barney's. Even Walmart, it'll happen to you. It's just, I don't know. When they're looking at us, the other guy's getting away doing the bad stuff, you know, and it's sad. It really is.
So now, here's the question, Mr. Elias. Bottom line is that, you know, according to this guy, you know, we're being followed around. It reminds me of that scene in Boomerang. Remember that scene in Boomerang when they all entered that store? And you remember
right.
That scene? And he, boo, yeah, that whole thing. It reminds me of that a little bit. But here's the deal. We can sit here and talk a good game. But in this case with Barney's, unless we stop giving them our money, then to me, it's almost like you're pissing in the wind. And I hate to use that term this Sunday morning. People may be listening over breakfast. But the bottom line is that you have these people like Jay-Z, you know, this guy, Tyson Beckford, he was in there shopping. You know, if you know that you're being racially profiled like this, why do you continue to give them your business?
I would never give them my business, Jay. That's just it. How do you hurt people? How do you hurt rich people? You don't give them your money. You don't shop in their stores anymore. You create another avenue. You don't use them anymore. And that's just the bottom line, man. Why are we shopping in stores where they don't want us? You know, to get some fair. I mean, this kid was going to buy a Ferragamo belt. I mean, I think to myself, okay, this is ridiculous. Where this kid takes his hard-earned money. He had a job. He has a job. He takes his hard-earned money and goes out and spends it in your store, and you treat him like he's a set, like he's there to steal and rob from you. You know, I think these people should sue, and I would sue for millions. That way, if you hurt their pockets, they'll stop this hack. But most of all, I wouldn't shop at their store anymore.
Interesting. Let's get out to the phone lines. 347-850-1272. Let's bring in Kavina Mann, one of my favorite listeners. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. How are you guys doing?
All right.
I think you almost said what I was going to say. But I'll put it like this. When Jerome was saying that, the Al Sharptons and the whatever league show up, they're going to show their worth. I almost think in 2013, I don't want to see them show up to that anymore. I don't want to see them protesting. We done had and tried this integration, let everybody get along type thing, and they turn around and slap you in the face with it.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's like, forget that. And don't even waste the time. Boycott it. It's like boycott or apologize and all that kind of stuff, and they're going to, open arms, and we can go in there and spend our money with the bigots who just mad because they got caught. No, forget it. This is the opportunity for the leadership, for the black leadership to say, hey, don't worry about Barney's or Macy's. Don't worry about them. We got this store over here. And where's the LGBT community? Where's the integration Latino community to say, hey, don't worry about Barney's over there. They're bigoted. Come shop at us. We welcome the people like that. No, what they want to do instead is try to get us to keep giving them business. Just pay off this guy right here, whoever got distributed, pay him off, and then they open the door for the other people to come there and spend all that money, and then make that right back up. With their bigoted, they discriminate against this guy, but they're going to make some money in the end. No, forget that. It's time to just shut all that down. I was a business, my advertisement would be, I'm not racist, shop with me. Forget Barney's and Macy's and these other people.
Well, let me ask you something before we let you go, Kavina. My question to you is this. We say, okay, let's not shop there. But where do we go? I mean, you know, how many high-end African-American stores, and I don't know, I'm asking this, I'm being legitimate with this question, how many of them out there exist? I mean, if a person wanted to buy something real nice and fine and they wanted to spend their hard-earned cash for a $300 belt, which that's a whole different story for a whole different day, but bottom line is that where do they go?
That's the whole point of the failure of the leadership, because we had 40, 50, 60 years of NAACP. How come they haven't came up with a store for black people to shop in? Where's all this money going? How much money do we spend every week giving tithes to the church? How come they haven't came up with anything yet for people to shop at? Why do we have to keep going to the bigots and the people who discriminate for us to do our shopping? Where is our stores? Where are our high-end stores? All these pastors and pastors' wives walking through millions of dollars coming through their churches every week, what are they shopping? Right, all these rich people, the NAACP, I know Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, I know they've got millions. Where do they shop at? How come they haven't got a place for us to shop at with the millions of dollars that they've made off this civil rights movement?
Well, good point,
man. Failure of leadership. Okay.
All right, good point, man. As always, man, I appreciate the phone call. 347-850-1272. All right, Jerome, listen, I mean, he brought up some valid points. I guess he asked about these preachers. I guess if you give give him a man at the Potter's house, what's his name, Mr. Elias?
T.D. Jakes.
T.D. Jakes, give him an opportunity. He'll come up with something. Don't say that too loud. They'll make up something for us to shop at. But on a more serious note, seriously, I mean, we talk about, okay, we shouldn't frequent these businesses. We should take our money elsewhere. We know that our money has an impact, but where do we take our money? Where do we go? Where do we buy these types of things if we don't shop at these types of places?
Well, I'm not your person for this. I don't really commit black-on-black crimes. It ain't black people's problem that Barney just did that to black folks. So I'm not going to turn this on what black people need to do and who they should go to. So you can ask somebody else that question. But I do want to say this about Barney's, and I want to say this about generally, that you have individuals, and I don't care if it's the police department. I know when a racist policeman shoots somebody, people act like it's not all police, and they they always give a disclaimer. We don't care if it's all of them or not. We need to deal with the individuals who are making our lives a living hell. And so we need to start weeding out those people. I'm not Macy's, Barney's, those guys have a lot of employees. And if that's the department head's decision to have them call the police, because technically they called the police on them. So they left the store or they sent undercovers after them, called the police on them. The girl who was 21, she bought a $2,500 bag, right? She was 7 months pregnant. They called the police because she had a temporary bank card. She went home because the other one got mailed to her. They didn't release her until they brought the bank card with her name on it in there. And it was her bank account. Her mother called them, right? That this is problematic because individuals are holding down racism. I don't care about the corporation. They don't care about nothing but money to begin with. So technically, we do need firefighters. We need people to put out fires. So I'm not going to say that I don't have any faith in it. They do cut their jails and keep it moving. But the truth is that we need to understand that the individual racism put on by whether it's your department head, whether it's the guy who's your bus driver, whether it's any of those guys, we need to figure out a way to shut this bull down, right? Stop blaming ourselves about not putting together a business when we know we're getting discriminated against on the business side. You know, there's a new study just came out that said that black people, I did on news this Thursday, that black people always pay more money in negotiating with white folks. White folks charge people who are not black, no matter what minority they are, they charge them less than they charge black folks. We can't do jack about this. This is not our problem. We need to figure out how to stop giving your money to build a culture that is going directly against you is the issue. So technically, Barney's... forget whatever their excuse is or Macy's or whatever. They have to do what they have to do from the corporate side. But they need to weed out their employees because if it's the individuals, you need to step it out. And plus, and then the police department, they're buying into this nonsense too because they told both of them in particular who had the lawsuit, I'm sorry, all three of them. So the two people at Barney's and the guy who was at Macy's told them, you can't afford this. That's a stereotype. You black, you can't have this kind of money.
Uh-huh.
Right? They believe that bull. We have people in the police department that say, you know, pull people over all the time. You can't afford this car. What you doing in this? Right? But we don't report that anymore because it seems like it's old news to us. But you cannot not warn your kids that this is going on because you're setting them up to fail. But I do want to say there are some companies that are okay with this. I went to a Mercedes dealership looking at a car, and the manager was helping somebody, and he said, oh, I see you like that car. Nobody's here to wait on you, but if you want to take it for a test drive, here are the keys. He was just going to give me the keys and let me drive the car. Because Mercedes policy was people who can't afford a Mercedes don't go in and look at them. He was going to give me the keys and let me go. So I'm not saying that that's a corporate function and everybody's racist. What I'm saying is that when you find the individuals in those positions who are holding that down for their status quo, we need to blow their butts out of water and get them out of there.
347-850-1272 is our call number. 347-850-1272. I want to make an announcement real quick. Focus Conference. The Focus Conference is hosted by Bishop Zaya East. That's going to be happening November 19th. On a Tuesday, the conference dates are from November 20th to November 22nd. It will be held at the Sheraton North Hotel, Houston Hotel, which is located at 15700 John F. Kennedy Boulevard in Houston, Texas, 77032. For reservations, you can dial 281-442-5100 or 800-325-3535. Cutoff date is October 29th. It's happening real soon, 2013. Total cost is $127.53. That includes breakfast for two daily days. So make sure you put that on your calendar. We'll announce it again as we get closer to the event. Right now we're talking about racial profiling at Barney's. Black people are being targeted. They're saying it's credit card theft or credit card counterfeit credit cards and all this type of nonsense. You know, listen, we can say what we want to say, but, you know, bottom line is, Mr. Elias, this happens to us every day. You know, y'all have heard the stories about me every time I go to travel down a certain, you know, highway, I get pulled over because of the type of car that I drive. You know, it happens all the time. I mean, so why are we surprised by this? You know, here's something that I'm reading, and I, you know, we do have
a
segment called...
I'm outraged, and not surprised. Well, I'm outraged.
Yeah, you should be outraged about it, but listen, bottom line is, what does it change?
Well, you know,
I mean, what does it change? I mean, this goes on all the time, and we see this all the time. And, you know, I mean, we're going to talk about something, and before we go, matter of fact, I'm not even going to blow that story. We're going to let that story, you know, come, you know, at the proper time. But the bottom line is that, you know, this happens to us all the time, and I'm reading something here. And like I said, we do have a segment called Chatterbox where we read final thoughts from chat rooms and social medias that we monitor during the show. And I'm reading something from a young lady out of Washington. She writes in, and she says, look, bottom line is not only do they, you know, do they profile African-Americans, but they also seem to be profiling within the profile. In other words, if you are a light-skinned, long, with long, beautiful hair, white, black female, a lot of times they don't even pull you over. They don't even mess with you when you go to these stores. But if you are a darker shade African-American, then you are subject to be frisked or checked out. I mean, what the hell is up with that?
You know, Jay, at some point in time, man, it all rolls back to the point that we need to start spending our money in these stores. If you treat me like crap, if you give me bad service, I don't care what kind of restaurant you get, what kind of store you get, I'll never spend my money with you again. Because my money is just as good as the person that's spending the money that's not the same color that I am. So, hey, if I stop supporting you, and if a lot of people would take that to heart and stop supporting these businesses, guess what would happen? They would go out of business. You got to treat people right, man. And we you know, like Tyson, he went right back to them and said, well, this is what they do. No, it ain't what they do. It's not what you're going to do with my money. What my money tells me is you can't have it anymore. That's what it tells me. I don't care how high-end your store is. I don't need your high-end store. If I really wanted to shop for that vendor, they got websites I can go to and shop right on that website and get it straight from that vendor. So for me to just go in there and be frustrated with that store, I would stop. I would definitely stop.
You know, I remember a story in the mid-90s, and I can't remember the name of the I can't remember all the names, but I want to put the story out there. I remember when the those huge car air fresheners with the crowns and big and shiny. Remember when they were popular and people had those in their cars? And I remember they had the guy who was actually behind, who created these things. And, you know, this guy was a KKK guy. And he said, look, he said, bottom line is that black people like big, shiny things. So I'm going to continue to sell them because they're going to continue to buy them. And I remember watching this show. Now, I remember that they had African Americans sitting on the panel as well. They had some young cats up there, and they were asking them, would they continue to bomb? Yeah, it's the bomb. It makes my car look nice. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, dude. You're sitting next to the guy who just said that he puts these things out there because they're going to attract black people. I mean, where's your self-pride when it comes to these types of things? And I guess where I'm going with it, I want to ask you this question, Jerome, because just what the person that sent me the message mentioned about the fact that there seems to be discrimination within the race itself. And what I mean by that is that if a light-skinned black person goes in and buys things at Barney's and things of that nature, you know, they're not targeted the way dark-skinned African-American people are. When I went back and looked at this story and looked at the people that were affected by this, every last person that was targeted by this whole situation, they were dark-skinned African-Americans. What do you think about that?
Well, I don't think anything about it. I just know that it's true, right? And we
wow.
talked about this on the political front. When you talk about Hispanic, you only look at the white Hispanic. Anybody who's black Hispanic, they don't get jacked. You look at Mexico, you look at any South American countries, only people who deal with white people are light-skinned black people or white people. right? Wow. They speak Spanish. Like, we do that on a regular that is so normal that we only think Hispanic people are light-skinned. Like, that's kind of how this country is. It's how it breeds racism. If it wasn't built into the fabric of our... If it wasn't built into the fabric of our society, I would be shocked. But it's just kind of how we are as a society. And we have to get over it. But technically, if, you know, you don't want somebody to profit from your money, don't give them any money. Mm-hmm. I mean, we need to have a little bit more of, what's the word I'm looking for? We need to have a little bit more resolve when it really comes down to it. When we hear this story, don't give anybody your money. I mean, that's pretty much the bottom line. People won't stop discriminating because they don't, rich people, you know, when you can't break somebody, it doesn't change their attitudes. But when you're coming up, everybody, you know, in the words of Paul Mooney, everybody want to be black, but nobody want to be black. Like, you want to act black, but technically, you know, being black is a hindrance to you. But every time we say something like that, people say, oh, here y'all go using a race card. Everybody brings that nonsense up. The race card is not us bringing up race. It is white folks deterring us from bringing up race. We need to understand that racism in this country is a bad, bad problem, and it has not gone anyplace. So we need to handle it. We forget having them handling us a certain way. We need to say, this group is racist, don't buy that stuff. This group is, don't buy that stuff. We need to kind of pass the word on that. And so whether it's a leader or a some designated black person to do it, we don't need all that. All you need to know, if you told me right now that somebody discriminated against you, and I've done this before, I've blown people out on traditional radio for this because I witnessed racism, and I went the next time I was on the radio, blew out a national chain for having a racist manager and called out the store. They got a little scared and said, We need to say alleged. I said, you don't have to say alleged. I saw it. Right? So technically, it's not alleged. It's not hearsay. We need to call it out. We need to stop being scared of calling people racist when they're racist because you're scared of other white folks and you're using the race card. I tell them, shut up.
You know, I tell you what, you know, Mr. Ellis, when we sit and talk about this, and, you know, and I'm still kind of tripping on the statement of, you know, how if a person is light-complected, they can, you know, have a light complexion or light skin or whatever we want to call them. You know, it seems that dark-skinned African-Americans are going to be more inclined to be pulled over versus, you know, African-Americans of that has, you know, has light pigmentation. It's the numbers are just, it makes you think, bro. It really and truly does. It makes you think. It's almost like, okay, is it a situation where because my skin color is closer to yours that you accept me? Because that, oh, well, you know, I don't know. I'm confused. I don't even know where to go with this, but it's troubling me. It's troubling me to a point where, you know, I'm bogged down on this. I don't know where to go with this, man. Help me out. I'm struggling with this right now.
Well, you know, Tyra Banks did a I don't know what it's called. She did a study, whereas that she was dressed up as a, you know, as Tyra Banks in and out, and she had a flat, right? And guys would come by and stop by and say, hey, you need some help with that flat? No, I got it. I got a tow truck coming. Hey, you need to help with that. You know, how many people would stop by and help her, right? And so then she dressed herself up as a overweight woman. And when she dressed herself up as an overweight woman, guys would just roll by and look at her and keep going. So that's what that reminds me of, man. You know, are we setting ourselves up for the fact that, you know, the light-skinned people are more so set up to say that, you know, you're more accepted because you're closer to my skin color, like you were saying, or is it that the dark skin people, you know, like I said, you say you had the house Negroes and the field Negroes. Are we still living that central?
Yep.
Well,
I would have to say we are. Because
yeah,
that's why
you're right,
think, yeah, that's why people think that, you know, it's kind of like they think that being light is closer to them so that they can relate. Like, people love you to assimilate. So white folks, and I think they do this unconsciously, I'm not pointing a finger at them, they do it unconsciously, I think, is
right.
They feel comfortable with who they feel comfortable with, and they're brainwashed like everybody else. They're brainwashed to feel comfortable with a certain type of black person. So everybody wants to be Carlton on the Fresh Prince. Like, that's who they feel comfortable with. And if you're not that, they don't have any relationship to it. They don't really know how to act to it. And then black people end up thinking that being white is being, having white mannerisms is better. It's like that irritating conversation of you're speaking bad grammar and that's not a word kind of stuff. That comes from white folks. That comes from assimilation. So you feel closer to being white folks, to white folks. So when a black person uses a word that doesn't sound closer to white folks understanding it, some black folks laugh at them. You know, look at them. That's just embarrassing. It's embarrassing because you're embarrassed that white folks are seeing that happen. That is a too close of a connection to white folks, opposed to saying, hey, who they normally speak to, it makes perfect sense and they understand the words that they're using. It's none of your business if you can't understand that language. We won't even separate ourselves well enough to not impose supremacy on other black people. So that's a problem in the big picture anyway, is that a part of supremacy has a whole lot more to do with creating a society that looks at the world in a certain way, and it does look at dark-skinned black folks as not, they're just black, and the light-skinned white black folks are kind of, they're okay. They're only black when they're the only black person in the room, but if there's other black people, they'll prefer the light-skinned black person. I don't know, it's a better way to put that. You know, I don't mean to go Sam Jackson on Young Circus now, but I feel like doing that. So I'm trying to hold back. Oh, because
I understand. But, you know, hey man, here's the problem with what we're talking about, to me. You know, why is it, you know, we've lived this lifestyle where it's the house Negroes and the field Negroes for over 400 years, Jerome. Why haven't we ever got over that? Why haven't we never got over that hump, man? That's what gets
because we are constantly trying to please white folks. And thank Lavinia for telling me I have to conjugate, because no, you know why she said that? It's because Sam Jackson said that about the president. Jackson said, you know, the president he don't have to speak down to people. He's the president. He should talk in a manner which shows his education. Now, Sam Jackson with the Morehouse. So technically, as much as he cursed and used foul language, he want to be bougie on the other hand to act like he has the authority on language.
Right.
So you have to see the bigger picture of why we act like that. And a part of that is us still trying to fit into white folks' world, or a semblance of what white folks think is acceptable for us. We don't see what's acceptable for us as far as our own interactions are concerned. We see what's acceptable to us in the presence of white folks. So usually if we don't feel comfortable in front of white folks talking to black folks, we want to make black folks change behavior and attitude so that white folks feel comfortable. And technically with racism, they're never going to feel comfortable with us because we are black. Right? They may be okay with some, but comfortable is a whole nother thing.
Yeah,
so,
well,
I don't.
Who cares how you know something, man?
I don't.
To me, if you don't feel comfortable around me, then you shouldn't be around me. You know, I don't apologize to nothing my people do, man. Just like they don't apologize to nothing their people do. Like we were talking about it the other day when we were talking about the fact that meth labs are the most prominent drug out there, and yet, you know, they crucify us. So, you know. We look at this thing as a whole, man. If you're not comfortable around me, you shouldn't be around me. That's just me.
Right. Right. Have you ever seen a war on drug commercial with white people? Like meth. Crystal meth is the number one drug 10 years running. I think it's a little longer than that. But it went from pills to LSD to all this other stuff. white folks are the number one drug suppliers and consumers in this country, and you never see them as the focal point of a war on drugs ever.
Yeah,
right?
That's
and
true.
So, because it gives them an impression in their comfort that if they can afford cocaine, they don't have no drug problem. Right? As long as they're not stealing, it's like an impression. It's like, yeah, he's on drugs, but he can afford it, right? And so we have this privilege thing that we do. You know, when somebody's privileged, they feel like money gives them exception to everything. So when we look at Henry Louis Gates, and by the way, his African American PBS special is on Tuesdays. I missed the very first one. So, but Henry Louis Gates, what happened with him at Harvard, of cursing the policeman out in his house and then getting arrested. Colin Powell came out and said, "Well, I think that if you'd have talked to them a little different, I don't think talking to him a little different would have changed his skin color. He got arrested because he was black."
Right.
So we keep making excuses of how we need to pacify people for them to treat us different. If you're dark-skinned and Barney, you can't say that, hey, if you would have just showed them your ID, which they did, if you would have just proved that it was your bank card, which they did, they would have let them go, which they didn't. They should have never been called on before. Nobody should have ever called on them before. And technically, you don't have to show your papers. It would have ended up very different with me because I wouldn't have showed them jack.
But here's the deal. You know, this is something that I definitely wanted to talk about on our sister station, Kings in the Morning. Jay King and the guys called Barney's, and Barney said that's not their policy, that we don't go and we don't do those types of things that happen outside of the agency. But yet, when you heard the piece, Ms. Elias, the young lady specifically said that the cop told her that, you know, we were called and told that there was credit card fraud. So someone's lying.
Right. Barney's is lying. They're not going to sit here and tell you that they're going to do this. Come on. How would that look if you come on to anybody's show and you say, hey, this is our common practice. We do this all the time. You know, come on. The bottom line is they don't want to look bad in the public eyes right now. And they're hoping this thing will go away. And anything like anything else, if we don't keep pressure on them and we don't keep pursuing it, it will go away.
We need to hear about somebody getting fired. If it wasn't Barney's that did it, because the individual called the police. And so, again, the racist thing that I'm talking about happened at some pizza place that I witnessed, and the guy called the police. The police came. I said, those black folks didn't do jack. And he said, well, this don't have anything to do with you. You need to leave. I said, I don't need to do anything, right? The issue is that I'm technically witnessing all of this, and you can call who you want to. Because the owner who we knew, well, I didn't know the owner, but another person with me knew the owner, was a friend of theirs, and said, you know what, if I knew that was going on in my store, somebody should have told me. That's their excuse. Now, I'm not taking up for the owner. I'm saying that you do have employees that feel like they're holding it down for the white race every now and then. So you have to say, even to Barney's, yeah, that may not be your policy on paper, but the climate that you created inside of your stores happened to do with the store manager and everybody in those departments. Somebody need to get fired because somebody put that policy in place that created that climate.
You're right. You're 100% right, man. And we don't, you know, we don't keep enough pressure on these. On these type of issues, Jerome, to me, it seems like we let it go on. We will talk about it for a week, and then it becomes old hat, and we'll move on to the next subject. You know, we don't stay connected enough to these subjects, man. And that to me, if we pursued it and pushed it, it wouldn't go away.
You know, but that's cool with me though that we move on from them because there's a lot of stuff happening. But I say, long as we don't start giving them our money back. If we would shut it down and just walk away and stop talking, people would respect our dollars a little bit better. So, but when somebody has a problem with something, we said, hey, we ain't shopping there no more, they would have nobody to negotiate with, and then there would be no closure, so nobody would give them their money. If we practice that, I guarantee you the next company that even thought about doing it say, hey, we can't even figure out a way to get black people back. They put the word out that we're racist, and now we don't get any black dollars. We don't need to talk about it, because the more we talk about it, the more that it becomes this whole fracturing of black people, right, where black people say, hey, it's our fault. We need to look at how we're doing, and then some of our kids are stealing. We start to go self-hate in about 10 minutes of any conversation. We figure out how we contributed to how white folks
were. Exactly.
We're really quick, too, on that.
Did the guy come in there with his pants hanging down? Did he do this?
Yeah,
no, he came in there with a legitimate credit card. He came in there with legitimate money to spend in your store. Doesn't matter how he looked. Does not matter how he looked. You know, the bottom line is you're right. We turn that around. And when you said that, man, I was watching the Selma boycott of the buses. And, you know, if you look back at that, man, they hurt those people financially, and that's what really helped that to end that boycott, because they were hurting those people financially. Yeah, and that's what we've lost along the way somehow. We don't hurt people financially. If you hurt somebody financially, they'll listen to you, and that's just the way it goes.
Right, and at the same time, we have a card to play, right? So, in turn, cut a deal with Nordstrom, and everybody go to Nordstrom. Because look at it this way. When the bus boycott happened, the bus company lost money for a year. You want to talk about black folks paying the commitment. We boycotted over a year the bus system. But you know who was financing the marches? Goodyear was one of the companies doing that. And the reason why Goodyear did is because back then they were changing the tires on buses probably every 3 months or whatever thousands of miles, right? So who started to make enough money during busing was Goodyear. So they actually put money into the marches. See, so if there's a corporate benefit, just cut a business deal with somebody. There's a benefit to you in this.
Wow, right? I didn't know that one, man.
Go to Nordstrom and say, look, we ain't buying jack from Barney's. I spend a lot of money, and if you treat me right at Lords & Taylor, I'm going there. Right?
Yeah.
There's a game to be played there.
That's
right,
true.
It's not all or nothing, right? And just because, you know, I would never spend $350 for a belt, that has nothing to do with the point, right? I do shop in Lord & Taylor, but the trick is to say, if you go into a store and they don't treat you right, go into their competitor. Break them by going to the other ones. Or withdrew your money completely. If you had that kind of discipline, you wouldn't have been in the store to begin with, but that's a whole other conversation. I'm
right.
So, you know, so the bigger thing for me is just to understand that we have to kind of take a little bit more control of this when it comes down to it.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly, man. You know, I agree, man. It's to me, we don't get it. You know, and like I said, man, with my money, if you don't treat me right, you can forgive me ever coming back to patronize your store or me coming back to spend my money in your store, because I never will. I don't even want to come look in your store for nothing you have. You can have stuff on sale where it's $20 cheaper than what I can go down here and spend. I'll spend an extra $20 because you have just disrespected me, and I don't want to spend my money with you no more. I'm done with it.
Right. Now, you know, on the part of Barney's and Jay-Z's comments, Jay-Z said, you know, just even in talking about, you know, I know you played a little bit of the clip, but he said that his Sean Carter Foundation is the beneficiary, and the foundation is receiving 25% of sales from the collaboration and 10% of all sales generated just on this one day, November 20th, and additional donations from Barney. But at the end of his statement, Jay-Z said, now, this is the part that always throws me. He said, I move to speak based on facts, not emotions. Jay-Z can't keep calling people stupid. He can't keep saying that we're emotional and we're not understanding what's going on. So on that part of what Jay-Z said, I can see why people are saying boycott Jay-Z and get him to step up, because he is not understanding the big picture. And just because black folks, we are black, and you should move on emotions. There's an old Kemet saying, there's an old African saying that says, that kind of speaks to the fact that we use the word never mind. It means always your heart, never your mind. you should be guided by what you feel, not what you think. That's your ego. So when the guy with the ego tells you, base it on your ego and not your emotion, he's wrong.
Right.
So I just wanted to make sure I said that, because I'm not defending or condemning Jay-Z. He can do what he wants, but he's getting no sales from nobody black. If white folks want to just buy his stuff, that's cool. But the trick is that we have to be conscious about how our movements are. You know, if it feels like somebody's lying to you, they're lying to you. Don't wait for somebody to tell you that somebody else is lying.
And that's true. That is true, man. I mean, and they lie to us all the time. I said, I listen to Kink in the morning, and when the lady got on, that is not our practice, that we don't do stuff like, look, you're lying. You know, especially if people come in, and more than one person is telling you this is going on, it's your practice. You know, and you know, and I noticed that they single us out, and they say, well, you know, how are you affording this? You know, hey, this is none of your business how I'm affording it. You know, as long as I'm not doing anything illegal in your store, how I afford it is none of your business. And that's what I don't understand. I've been trying to rationalize that. I realize what's going on, but I still won't never get that, man. You know, you could be the poorest. You know, I know a lot of millionaires in my lifetime. I've known a lot of them, and dude, they don't dress the part. You would never know they were millionaires because the way they dress, the things that they drive, and you know, like I said, the company I work for now, this guy owns the building, and our company bought them out for like $32 million. So this guy's got money, and he drives a Jeep around, and he wears old rusty jeans and sailor shoes and an old raggedy shirt. You would never know he had millions of dollars if he went to his house.
That's right. Well, and I can tell you that most people with money, it's their kids that spend money, but they don't. Like, when you earn your money, you realize that a car is four wheels and some gas. Like, you don't really get too high on flaunting. So that is the lesson to be learned about wisdom, wealth, and all of the other stuff. Being rich is a little bit different, but having wealth says that you realize that, you know, a car is just four tires and some gas, and you don't really put that much stock into your value of what you drive, because you already have value.
Right.
So when you're wise, you don't care about anybody calling you smart either. It's not really that serious, because you can know something in this area and be completely dumb in another one. I mean, Einstein is a prime example of that, the guy who wore nothing but suits because he didn't want to use his brain power to figure out what to wear in the morning. That is absolutely crazy.
Right, that is, man. That is, man.
So that's the thing, is like when you start talking about how these companies are acting, I have to say, again, the woman who probably called in, she may not have known, right, because it's not their written policy, but they were practicing that, so that's a whole nother story. I mean, one time years ago, and I was young, so forgive me for this one, but I was followed around the store with a couple of my boys in the store. So we separated, and I was looking for something, and I noticed the undercover guy following me. So when he tried to duck out, I saw one of my boys, and I said, okay, next time he come out, we're going to follow him. So we all got into different parts of the store, and once we located that store, we started stalking him. So as he gets paranoid before he calls the police, he runs his butt in the back. And we were just saying, hey, you know what? We were just trying to figure out what you was doing. Right?
Right.
You turn that back on them, because I can go in any part of the store you can go in. You want to follow me? I'll follow you. I had time. So technically, they don't know what that feels like until they're up under suspicion and then they get paranoid. But you can do that as well.
Right.
I mean, that's a bad time.
As I get older, like I said, when I feel like I'm being followed around the store now, I just leave. You're going to keep whatever you got there. It wasn't worth me being there anyway. So, like I said, I don't patronize stores like that. I just grab my money and leave. You know? But,
I won't buy anything from them. I will definitely approach the person following me, though, because you should not have it that easy. I think that's the thing about racism that actually makes people comfortable in being racist, right? They're racist without repercussions. So right. What happens is that when somebody is racist against you, you don't have to fight them and all of that good stuff. But what you do, what you should do, is you should make them feel comfortable in pushing you one way or another. So whether you call their boss, whether you get them fired, regardless on what you do, do something so that people don't feel comfortable at discriminating against us. Barney's can't continue to make money while their employees continue to keep us under suspicion. There's no reason why some pregnant 21-year-old girl should be detained for buying a $2,500 bag.
What?
You don't know how much money they have, so don't go back with the why is she spending that much money on a bag. It's none of your business.
Right.
That's
right.
The point
it
is,
doesn't matter. Does she have the money to spend?
It's her money. She can do what she wants.
Yeah, it's her money. She can spend however she wants to spend it. And that's just the bottom line. Nobody should tell you how to spend your money.
Yeah, you know the irony of this, Elias, is that they didn't throw down cash. They used credit cards. So if they came with cash, you know we'd be stereotypical on how they got their money.
Dope dealer.
You know your credit cards are traced so you can bring it back or whatever.
Right.
So
right.
If you're black and using a credit card and you get discriminated against, I can't imagine if you plop down some cash up in those pieces.
Hmm. Wow. That is the truth there, Jerome. Because, you know, if you do plop down cash, the first thing I'm going to say is, oh, that's a drug dealer. You know, you could never be a son of somebody that's rich, or you could never be like I look at this young entrepreneur, man, this black entrepreneur I heard about that's like, I think he's like 12, 13 years old, black kid, it's worth $3.5 million, man, $3.5 million. You know, we don't hear about stories like that, whereas that, you know, young black rich successful, and he started his own tech business. And now the business, and he employs 18 people, and he's young, and he's like 10 years old right now, and he owns a tech company, and you know you don't know where this money is coming from. That's why you should never judge a book by the cover. I learned that a long time ago.
Yep. But technically, you know, like I said, we're in a society where people want to put people in stereotypical boxes, right? It's like, you're black, you're never going to have this. Or black folks stereotypically don't do this. You gotta stop that just because that is a convenient box that white folks put us in just to keep supremacy. Like, it keeps stepping on your neck just to justify the fact that they are out of line. You know, when you use stereotypes to justify actions, they just pretty much say, hey, you know what? This normally happens to black people, so that's why we racial profile. Remember we did the show on racial profiling, and someone said, black people do by disproportionately get arrested, right? But
right.
when you don't look past the numbers, black people are the only people who are stopped. If 100% of the people you stop are going to be black, then 90% of the people you arrest are going to be black.
Of course.
White folks have to turn themselves in.
That's what
you want to arrest them.
Yeah, that's where the numbers come in. That's what's amazing to me, that we always look at these numbers, and you know, you don't look at what goes behind the numbers, man. That's the bad part of it, man. That is the worst part of it all. You know.
Yeah. Once they're not applying those numbers, they have a bigger issue.
Mm-hmm.
Try to figure it out.
You never know, man. You never know.
That's right.
Well, Jerome, will give you the last word on this one and try to figure out what break for him. So go ahead, Joe, the last word, man.
All right. Well, I just want to say for the whole Barney's case that people need to stay on it and not shop at Barney's until they give you a good explanation on the policies that they're going to change to make sure that you don't feel that you feel welcome. Hey, it's their job if they want your money to bring you in an environment that is more conducive to you spending. So, you know, that's about it. That's all I have on that.
All right, Jerome. Well, thank you for your final word, brother. It was on point, as always. I'm hoping this is breakthrough. So, hey, we'll be right back after this.
Hey. Oh, you got me standing on all three. pretty little girl in short jeans. Right to know my firm out on the concrete. You make me can't sleep, cause I got me standing on all three. Pretty little girl in short jeans. Right to know my firm out on the concrete. Oh, you make me can't sleep. I got you begging for more with a little foreplay. I got you cheering and saying things when I fit for earplay. Keep back, relax, baby girl, this is your day. You deserve the service, you've earned it, it's your pay. Make me pop off the button, let the zipper and don't strip tease. No camera, no top publicity stunt. This is a gallery and your museum. Reveal the masterpiece and get a good critique when you're done, yeah. My take my time coming, I ain't no ace. Baby girl, them say yes, make grace me move, what a slow pace. Make me we down to the waist, ooh, we deserve first place because oh, you got me standing on all three. You got me standing on all three. Pretty little girl in the short jeans. Right, I know my firm out on the concrete. You make me can't sleep, cause I got me standing on all three. Pretty little girl in the short jeans. Right, I know my firm out on the concrete. Oh, you make me can't sleep. I got you begging for more with a little foreplay. You got you cheering and saying things when I fit for earplay. Keep back, relax, baby girl, this is your day. You deserve the service, you've earned it, it's your day. Make me pop off the button, let the zipper and don't strip tease. No camera, no top publicity stunt. This is your gallery and your museum. Reveal the masterpiece and get a good critique when you're done, yeah. My take my time coming, I ain't no ace. Baby girl, them say yes, make grace me move, what a slow pace. Make me we down to the waist, oh, we deserve first place because oh, you got me standing on all three. Pretty little girl in the short jeans, right, I know my firm out on the concrete. You make me can't sleep, cause you got me standing on all three. Pretty little girl in the short jeans, right, I know my firm out on the concrete. Oh, you make me can't sleep. Teasing me with her innocence when she pretends as if she depends on my experience. She loves it when me take control to make her feel happy, say she dip on the receiving end. She loves it when me finger them a crawl on her, make sure wet up like the rain a fall on her. She loves it when me make the water run in her canal, make she crawl up on the wall. No, me not go stop. Anytime you're gone and you alone, me truly miss me. Love it when you make me just attack me a foolishness. The way me love it, you have to wonder if I cool it, if I give it to me, even if for 2 minutes. Cause you got me standing on all three. Pretty little girl in the short jeans. Right, you know me firm out on the concrete. You make me can't see. Cause you got me standing on all three. Pretty little girl in the short jeans. Right, you know me firm out on the concrete. Oh, you make me can't see. She's concerned when she saw the third leg. She even said that I robbed the beast of burden. Long as she's yearning, it's been so long now. She feels like she's once more a virgin. And now I am standing on all three.
Sorry, folks, we're having technical difficulties this morning, but we're back now. Thank you.
Way up in the sky. imagine his life. Imagine his life and learn how to love him. Believe in him. We believe in his believing right. Yeah, yeah.
Omówiono najważniejsze sprawy związane z dalszym rozwojem województwa i kraju.
The week that was in the news.
Some racist comments may have cost a Republican leader in North Carolina his job. A guy named Don Yeltsin was interviewed by The Daily Show, and his words about North Carolina's new voter ID law, I think you could fairly say they're angering a lot of people. Have a listen.
If it hurts a bunch of college kids that's too lazy to get up off their boat hunkers and go get a photo ID, so be it.
Right, right.
If it hurts the whites, so be it. If it hurts a bunch of lazy blacks that wants the government to give them everything, so be it.
Folks, it's time for, before we go, a quick look at some stories that made headlines this past week. First of all, let me start off with an apology. We had some technical difficulties, but what a way to end the show, huh? We've been talking about it the whole morning, and here we go. Here's one of these guys, Jerome, you know, talking about lazy blacks. This guy claims to have an African-American as his best friend. Your thoughts?
So did Paula Deen.
Yeah.
That's what I have to say to him. Everybody got a black friend. tell him I know somebody black too. So I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Mr. Elias, man, your thoughts, dog, about this? We talked about this pretty much most of the morning. You know, this sentiment, you know, it's there, man. People are going to continue to have racism in their heart.
Well, Jay, you know, how do I know somebody has, you know, as a racist when they tell me, I got black friends, and you know something? Most people I know that have black friends or white friends, I don't have to tell you I got white or black friends. You know it. Because of who you see me around. So,
yeah.
When he says I got black friends, I got a black friend, and guess what? God bless you. I got a black friend.
And he has one.
Yeah.
Yeah, just one. That ought to say a lot, huh?
He
all right.
He with a matching set. There was no other...
Ridiculous. Ridiculous, ridiculous, ridiculous. Uh-oh. You hear the bell.
Oh, boy.
You know what time it is.
Yeah.
It is time for our football picks. I tell you what I'm going to do. We're at the midpoint of the season, and because I didn't fully participate in the first 8 games, we're going to wipe that slate clean, and we're going to start anew. Gives us a midseason break. So now... let's see who got their hands on the trigger, and let's get out to the games. Mr. Elias, you're first, man. Dallas, Detroit, who do you have?
I'm going with Detroit now. I'm going with Detroit now.
What about you, Jerome? Who do you have?
All right. I'm going to try Dallas. I bet against it because of time, so I think I might as well get one.
I'm going with Detroit because I really need them to win because I'm a Phillies fan. All right, Cleveland, Kansas City. Mr. Elias.
Oh, you know, come on, man. Need you to ask that as a silly baby.
All right. Jerome.
Yep, Kansas City.
You know what? Here's my upset special. I'm going with Cleveland. Jason Campbell starting today. Miami, New England, Mr. Elias.
I'm going Miami.
Miami. Who are you going with, Jerome?
I'm going to go with Miami, too.
Boy, Miami against New England. You know what? I'm going with the New England Patriots. Buffalo, New Orleans, Mr. Elias.
The N.O., baby. The N.O., baby.
All right. What about you, Jerome? Who you going with?
All right. I'm going to have to stay in New York State today and go with Buffalo.
Oh, that's a homer. That's a homer move. That's a homer move.
There you go.
That's all right. Now, if the young rookie quarterback was playing, I'd go with him, but I'm going to go ahead and ride with Mr. Elias on this one, going with New Orleans. All right. Giants, Philly. Mr. Elias.
I'm going with Philly, man. I got to go with Philadelphia.
You going to be a homer again, Jerome?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be a homer.
I'm going with Philly. San Fran, Jacksonville. Overseas.
San Fran, baby. San Fran.
Jerome.
Yep, San Fran. I'll go with them.
Yeah, make it a clean sweep. All right, New York Jets and Cincinnati.
I'm going with the Natty, baby. I'm going with the Natty.
Homer?
No. I can't take them all three every week. So we're going to go with Cincinnati.
I'm going with the Jets. I have faith in Geno Smith. Pittsburgh, Oakland?
Pittsburgh, Jay.
Jerome?
Man, Pittsburgh. I'll go with Pittsburgh.
I'm going with the Oakland Raiders. Washington, Uh-oh. Denver.
Denver, most definitely. Denver.
Yeah, Denver for you as well, Jerome.
Yeah, I'm not an RG3 guy, so I'm going to go with Denver.
All right, make it a clean sweep. All right, Atlanta, Arizona.
I'm going to go with the ATL, baby. ATL.
Jerome?
Let's see. Yeah, Atlanta. I'll go with Atlanta.
As long as Carson Palmer's playing football, I'm going to always go against him. I'm going with Atlanta as well. Green Bay, Minnesota.
Green Bay, man. That's an easy choice, yeah.
Christian Palmer starting at quarterback. Jerome.
I know. I'm going to have to – yeah, I have to go with Green Bay. I'll give it
to you. I'm going with Green Bay as well. Monday night, Seattle, St. Louis.
Seattle, baby. Seattle, come on.
Jerome.
You know, I'm going to pick the upset. I'm going to go with St. Louis on this one. Seattle, I'm just going to go
okay.
with St. Louis.
And their starting quarterback is gone, but you're going to pick them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Maybe he needs to go. Maybe they need a spark.
All right, folks, those are our picks for the week. You can follow
oh,
you play with
that last.
Hey. Hold it, you didn't pick.
I didn't pick?
Last.
Okay,
no,
I'm going with Seattle. I'm going with Seattle. All right, listen, tell you what, we're going to do something a little different this morning because obviously we had some serious issues kind of push us back. But I definitely want to have a segment, and we're going to put this together. Jerome and I were talking about this because this segment is so popular that he tries to get it in during last call. So I think what we would like to do is try to do something a little earlier than that and let Jerome give us some fun facts with his news story. So, Jerome, floor is yours, brother.
Like
and let me see, can I get a little bit of background music going for you? You can start. I'll just figure it out once you get going. How about that?
Okay, so here are some news stories that happened during the week that we can catch up on. I don't know if they're fun facts, but they're actually true news stories that we want to put out there. So,
all right, let's talk about it.
First one, I just want to say for the people who are online dating and meeting people, a Chinese man arranged a hotel meeting with a girl who he spoke with online, and he was shocked to find out that it was his son's wife. I need
wow.
a drum roll.
Oh,
that
my
one.
Goodness. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, but I have to say, she did use a fake name, but I'm not sure that she didn't know it was her father-in-law. I'm not really sure that she didn't know. And also, at the same time, Holly Thorogood said that she found out that her partner, her boyfriend, had been sentenced to 6 years for trespassing and intended rape. She said, I Googled my boyfriend and found out he was a sex offender. But he was a caring and loving man with a horrible past. I should play a game of black or white on that one, but I'm not going to do it.
Wow.
So, watch out for your online dating. Now, racism, we spoke about this as just kind of a part of the show today, that there's a new study that said that racism still exists when cutting a deal, and it's according to a new study that black people had put more money on the table than a white person to accept their offer in comparison to offers from people of other ethnic groups or other white people. So the study was carried out by the University of New York and was set out to test if racial tensions came to the surface in financial deals. So the results are published in the Journal of Psychological Science. But I think we answered that with the Barney's question. I think you guys would say.
Yeah, absolutely. You think?
Yes. It pays a big role. It plays a big role. Now, this is for LES because I'm going to have to leave the host out because Dave's going to have to run a disclaimer for this one. Now, former governor of Louisiana, just got out of jail, Edwin Edwards has a new reality show. And, yeah, 86 years old, right? He's starring alongside of his 35-year-old wife, Trina, who he married. She wrote him and visited him while he was serving time in federal prison for corruption charges, and now they have a new show on. Yeah. So here's what I want to propose to LES. He is 50 years older than her. So, LES, we're not going to be him at about 40 years. When we're 70, we're going to grab us a couple 30 years old and make it to Vegas. We're going to hang out, bro.
Hey, Jerome, I'm with you when you're right, brother. I'm with you when you're right, baby. I'm with you when you're right.
Yeah. Jay, I was trying to leave you out of this so you could be above the fray as the host. But
yeah,
hey,
I am.
And you said you want to throw a 30 with you, too? Come on, hang out.
That's okay. That's okay. I'll let you guys have that one.
Thank you very much. Hey, nobody's hating on him because he's 50. I just he's 51 years older than her. I just wanted to put that out.
Wow, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I saw that, too.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Don't let Jay be a hater. L.E.S., see you in Vegas.
I'm not, brother. He'll join side of it.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Now, New York has phased its labor law practices to extend to models under the age of 18 for the first time. Now, under a new state law, child models who now qualify, they will now qualify as employees, even if they're independent workers, and you can't deny them, you know, tutoring. They get to have a chaperone, so if you're asking them to dress in little skimpy outfits, their chaperone has the authority to speak on their behalf. You can't ask a 14-year-old to put on underwear and do a Calvin Klein ad anymore. So New York
Thank
State
you.
Has changed this law from, you know, to stop that.
That's good.
So meanwhile, the education requirements and mandates those employers to provide teachers and dedicated space for instruction, and also they have to establish a trust that goes in that child's name. Not even the parents can get to. So a partial payment for their work has to go to a trust for the child. And,
wow.
And also, and the last thing is, I don't know if you guys seen the TLC story, but when we talk about television and black folks, I just want to say it is VH1's highest rated original movie ever with 4.5 million viewers. Crazy.
Wow.
Wow. Good stuff. All right, folks, more to come on that. Now, I'll tell you what, now, like I said, we're going to put it together, have a nice little segment for Jerome to get his stories out there because I think they're fun. And from the responses that I'm receiving from the peeps, sounds good. All right, we're going to take our last break. We're going to probably lose some of you guys from the live audience, but if you are tuned in on the phone, you can catch the end, or if you listen in the archives, just stay tuned. We'll be back. Last call coming up here on the Sirius side.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The death toll in Iraq is climbing. More than 50 people are reported dead and many others wounded. In one attack, officials say a suicide bomber hit a group of soldiers in the northern city of Mosul, killing at least 12 people. And as the BBC's Ahmed Baha reports from Baghdad, a series of car bombs went off in Shiite neighborhoods.
It was a bloody start to Sunday in Baghdad. Multiple car bombs shook the Iraqi capital over just a few hours. Most of the explosions targeted predominantly Shia areas. Violence in Iraq has reached its worst levels since the height of the sectarian conflict between Shia and Sunni communities almost 6 years ago. The government has begun to introduce new security measures, but many Iraqis are skeptical that they will make any difference.
The BBC's Ahmed Maha reporting. Moving on to Afghanistan, where there has been another apparent insider attack. Officials say an Afghan army soldier opened fire on three NATO service members following an argument at a training facility outside of Kabul. NPR's Sean Carberry reports that two NATO troops received minor wounds and the Afghan soldier was killed.
A bullet fired by the Afghans struck the body armor of an Australian soldier and fragmented, hitting a Kiwi soldier in the foot. This is the 12th so-called insider attack this year. There were more than 40 such attacks last year. Investigators are still trying to determine exactly why the Afghan soldier shot at the New Zealand and Australian soldiers. General Afzal Aman, the head of operations in Afghanistan's Ministry of Defense, says these insider attacks are usually the result of arguments, drug use, or mental illness. Though he also says the Taliban are constantly trying to infiltrate the Afghan army and police to undermine the trust between Afghan and NATO forces. Sean Carberry, NPR News, Kabul.
Local grocery store chains in over two dozen states are pulling some refrigerated foods from store shelves. NPR's Jim Hawk says recall involves possible listeria contamination.
Taylor Farms is recalling items including broccoli salad and coleslaw sold across 25 eastern and southern states because they contain ingredients that may be contaminated with listeria. The company says the packaged food includes ingredients recalled earlier this week by a firm in Beaverton, Oregon. The food was sold at deli counters and supermarket chains, including Price Chopper, Shaw's, ShopRite, Acme Market, Stop and Shop, and others. Separately, grocers Winn-Dixie and Giant Food say they have removed the items from their stores and are offering customers refunds. Listeria can lead to miscarriages in pregnant women and serious illness for those with weakened immune systems. So far, there have been no reports of illnesses. Jim Hawk, NPR News.
Indiana University police say they are searching for two individuals, possibly armed with a knife, who are believed to be at large on the Bloomington campus. One person has been hospitalized with stab wounds. You're listening to NPR News.
If someone came to me now and said that I was just diagnosed, I would say it's really going to be okay.
There's hope. There's so much hope. Just hold on to the hope.
You can make it. You'll be okay. You can get through this. This too shall pass. It's not fatal for everybody.
Get informed, get involved, get your treatment, and then join the rest of us in the fight.
It's actually been a positive experience. I look back and think, oh gosh, I could write a book on this and how cancer saved my life. I just have so much to be thankful for. I'm more grateful for the people around me who have been so supportive. I had no idea I had so many friends until the cards started coming. And it was just wonderful to see people reaching out and caring so much.
Sometimes when I'm off the line and I get the opportunity to be in a different little area where I'm kind of off to myself, I dance. And they say, look at her, she's over there dancing. But if I had the chance to sit it out or dance, I think I dance. That's my motto.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Get in the fight. Take a loved one to have a mammogram done today.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Every time I come in the kitchen, you in the kitchen, in the damn refrigerator, eating up all the food, all the
chicken. Well, we are having some serious issues this morning. My goodness. Welcome back in. Good God. 4 minutes left before the end of the show. And, folks, we want to get our final thoughts in. God, what is going on this morning? Oh, God. What a way to... Maybe because it's Halloween. Maybe that's the reason why we're going through. I have no idea. Anyway, all right, it's time for our final thoughts. Jerome, man, final thoughts, man. Jeez.
All right. If you have not seen the movie 12 Years a Slave, I haven't seen it, but get a chance to see it. It's about Solomon Northrup, his being kind of coerced into taking a trip, being sold into slavery. He was there for 12 years, came back and wrote this book. So I think they're talking about Oscar buzz for it already. I don't need any more slavery movies than me, but I think it probably would be worth seeing. So go check that out, and everybody have a good week.
Well, Jay, my final thoughts are this.
Okay.
My final thoughts are, hey, Barney's, Macy's, look, folks, if people are mistreating you and they don't appreciate your money, let them know that they don't appreciate your money. Don't shop with them anymore because they are power in their dollar. And if you don't shop with their stores anymore, guess what happens? They lose money. When they lose money, that's when they'll beg for you to come back. And don't come back. Let them go out of business. Because all they're begging you for is to get your money back. So if they don't respect you from the beginning, don't shop with them.
You know, I saw some comments in the chat room earlier and saying that, you know, how much of an effect will this have? Because, you know, listen, I'm not going to spend $300 for a belt. I'm not going to spend $2,500 for a purse. Bottom line is that people are entitled to buy what they want. People are entitled to spend their money any way they feel that they need to spend their money. But it's going to take a lot of convincing for someone to convince me that I need $300 to hold up my pants and I need $2,500 to hold my money. And on that note, Mr. LES, if it's Sunday and we're talking serious stuff, what time is it, my friend?
It's time for the serious side of the J. Ryle Show.
Folks, it's been a weird one this morning, but we're glad that you hung out with us. So for Dr. Princess Aldea Jerome and my main man, Mr. LES, I'm J. Ryle. Remember, folks, if it is Sunday, we're talking serious stuff. It is the serious side. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy football and enjoy your work week. We'll see you back here next Sunday on the serious side.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.